Okay, so in Kuf Tzadi Vav. So when should a Hafsek Tara be done? So the Mishnah on Daf Samach Ches Mudal says, Nida Shabatka Atzma Yom Shmi Ishachris U'matza Tahora U'vein HaShmashas Loifisha U'lacha Yamin Batka U'matza Tmeya Arehi B'chezkas Tahora. So this is the view of the Chachamim, or we'll call the Tanakama. The Tanakama says that if she does a Hafsek Tara the morning of the seventh day, we're talking here about a Nida, so she's going to go to the mikvah that night, and then she doesn't do. That creates a cheskas tara, such that if she becomes tmeya later, we'll assume it started then. Bad katan yoshvi shachs matzah tmeya, and l'chora, as the Tosafot points out, who had done if she didn't do any bedika? Uven hashmashos loyfrishu la'achar zman badku matzah tara. Then harayu cheskas tmeya. Adarabba. In other words, even for nida, she is becheskas tmeya until she does a hafsek tara. We're going to have to see, is that a deraisa presumption or a drabanan presumption? Tosaf Rashi himself is actually unsure about that point. Reb Yehuda Omer, kol shel efrisha b'tara min ha-mincha l'mala, areiz b'cheskes t'meya. So Reb Yehuda is more machmir than the Tanakama. He says, no, the hafsek tara has to be min ha-mincha l'mala. So if she did a hafsek tara in the morning, she is not going to be b'cheskes tara. In other words, we're choshish that maybe she saw dam afterwards. Not only the seventh morning, but even the second morning, that is good enough. So let's talk about first Rabbi Yehuda's view. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Min ha-mincha ulamala." When is min ha-mincha ulamala? So the Beis Yosef says he thinks it's mincha ktana ulamala. The Rashash says it means mincha gdola. That's the view of the Ra'a as well. Now, these times seem a little bit arbitrary. I mean, mincha is like, Zman mincha relates to the carbon time of Jolena Ryan. What is the logic to their, you know, what is their relevance to here? Why is that important? I mean, maybe mincha gedola, you could say, is a little less arbitrary because it's chatzos, you know, more the sort of second half of the day, right? So we have to figure out why these zmanim are important. That this is actually the question that the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yehuda. On Amud Beis, the Gemara says, "Tani Amar Lo Rav Yehuda Ilmali Yada Munachos Beina Kol Beina Shmashos Yafa Ata Omer Achshav Emar Misilik Yada Harasa Mali Efrisha Batara B'Shviim Min Amin Cholamala Mali Efrisha Batara B'Rishon." In other words, obviously, what are you choshish when you say it doesn't work in the morning? Like we said, that she's going to see afterwards. So if you're choshish, you're going to see afterwards. So maybe also Min Amin Cholamala. So she does her bedika an hour before Shkia. Maybe afterwards she got it. Now, it's not clear what Rabbi Yehuda would say back to this question. Take a look at Tosos on Samach Chesma Beis, Dimasu Amru, that Rabbi Yehuda is not Mikratin. It's a chumra to be choshish. The Ra'a and the Bedek HaBais, Zayin Hay, seems to disagree that it is Mikratin. We'll explain what the Machlokas is a bit later. But let's say even like Tosfos, it could be sometimes it's mikaradin, right? Tosus thinks that min ha-mincha l'mala is mikaradin in ra'asa ba'oso yom, which we'll get back to that shortly. So the truth is that you have a case of min ha-mincha l'mala, which is mikaradin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe even alibad hilchasa, according to Tosfos. So we need to try to figure out what is min ha-mincha l'mala and why is it important. We turn to Rashi back on the Mishnah. Rashi says something very odd. Rashi writes, "Reb Yehuda filu bedikas shvi'i shachris lo mitahara ad shetafresh bein hashmashos." And you see similar lashonos in the Rashi and other Rishonim, which sounds like she has to do the hafsek tara bein hashmashos. So basically, he says that doesn't make any sense. Why not? Why doesn't it make any sense? Because by the time Bein Hashmashos rolls around, it's too late to do a Hafsek Tara, right? It's already Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Maybe Laila started 2 minutes ago and she saw Dam then. There's the whole point of Hafsek Tara is that we need to know that she stopped bleeding before the end of the day so that she could go to the mikvah that night. So says the Beis Yosef, you're right. Obviously, when Rashi says Bein Hashmashos, it doesn't mean Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So what does it mean? He gives two options. And second of all, I mean, you could just add to that, You know, if the Mishnah says mina mincha lamala, why is Rashi translating that as banish mashos? Since when is mina mincha lamala banish mashos? So he says, no. When banish mashos, and Rashi can't mean that. So what does Rashi mean by banish mashos? First interpretation, hilkach banish mashos to kamar harash. He says it in Rush, but presumably who had it in Rashi. Hainu banish mashos to Rabbeinu Tam. Shadayin hu yom gamor. Right, so we know that there's a debate about how to look at the onset of nighttime, or when does Safek Yom Safek Laila begin. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, at Shkia Rishona, which we call sunset, right, what we call Shkia, it's still Vada Yom. He comes up with this because there's a stira between the Gemara and Shabbos, Gemara Pesachim. Gemara Pesachim sounds like there's 4 mil between Shkia and Seis. Around Shabbos sounds like it's much less. So the resolution, more or less, is that at Shkia Rishona is Vada Yom still. Until whatever it is, you know, a certain number of minutes that's debated before Seis HaKochavim, which is known as Shkia Shnia. So for more or less, the first hour after Shkia Rishona, it's Vada Yom. But in a certain sense, it's banish mashos, right? Because it's between the suns. It's between, you know, it's between setting of the sun and getting dark and whatever. There might be other nafkaminas to Shkia Rishona in the world of Kachim. But that's what the Rush must mean. The Rush does hold like Rabbeinu Tam. Conceivably, Rashi could hold like Rabbeinu Tam, though he didn't say it. So when the Rush says Shkia and banish mashos, he means Shkia Rishona. And the idea is that you're supposed to do it close to the end of the day. That's clearly what Rabbi Yehuda wants. That's clearly what Mina Mincha Lamala is meant to accomplish. And the closer the better. But we don't want to go too far. So what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? When should you do your Hafsek Tara? Shkia Rishona. Right? That's the first interpretation of the Beis Yosef. V'inami. Samach ben Hashmashos Achron. No, maybe even afterwards. But it doesn't mean Beinash Mashos, it means Samach LeBeinash Mashos, sometime before Beinash Mashos. Tafel Gavdi Min HaMincha L'Malas Sagi, right? Of course, Min HaMincha L'Malas is good enough. I mean, you can't argue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Min HaMincha L'Malas. It's good enough. Kom Elchatz Chila Ratzel Ahayre Shetivdo Kayosir Samach L'Layla. The later, the better. That's certainly what Buda holds. And just like what Buda says, perhaps Li'ikuva Min HaMincha L'Malas, but the truth is, you know, why... Do it min hamincha lamala. Do it even better, l'chatchila. The later, the better. As late as you could possibly do. Samach l'layla she'afshar. Ki latzis midei safek. Kidei latzis midei safek. Because the closer it is to the end of the day, the less safek. Meaning to say, the smaller the chance of seeing dam after the hafsek tara. Right? If you want to put it differently, the less we are reliant on the chazaka. The Hafsek Tara sets up a certain chazaka. It would set it up in the morning. Rav Yehuda doesn't think that's good enough. He wants to do it later, right? And so the Rush is sort of saying, well, you know, b'di'evid, Rav Yehuda says it's good enough in a minhag l'mala. But obviously Rav Yehuda is motivated by the idea that we want to rely on chazaka as little as possible. We want to be as certain as possible. And therefore, the later the better. So when he says banish mashos, means samach banish mashos. Good, that's what you're going for. As late as possible before the onset of banish mashos. Good. So that's what he says. The Aruch HaShulchan has an interesting theory in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita as to why I said like the time is a little arbitrary. So he thinks maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa and brachos. That plaga mincha, and that's what he's saying. Min mincha l'mala means plaga mincha. In other words, neither mincha gdala or mincha ktana, but even later. And that's Reb Yehuda says that that's when he could daven ma'ariv. Again, shtickel chiddush. Is that really laila? All right, Rabbeinu Tam says maybe even kriyashma. Anyway, interesting. What?
True Sadeshan
might have a similar idea. Correct. No, but it means along these thinkings. In other words, we're not maybe again, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you got Mariv and Krishma and the like, that doesn't really mean it's Laila l'chodavar. And the point is that in both of these ideas, we're sort of looking to Zmanei Tefila and saying that they're relevant here. Very big chiddush, very.
If anything, that he's saying right before Vlad, right? He's saying even after Vlad, Laila.
I have to look it up. I think the pshat that he says is no, it's mina plaga mincha onwards, and that has a din of Laila in a certain respect, and therefore that's when you should do your bedikah. In other words, as I asked before, this man of mincha is random, it's arbitrary. The answer is no, it's not arbitrary, because if you assume that mincha l'mala means plaga mincha l'mala, so the pshat is that we want you to do your hafsektara in a time which is already has a din Laila l'inyan miktzisvar. So it's not going as far as the Terusa Deshen, like you said, because Terusa Deshen is saying, Adrabah, once she and the Kal Davin's Mairiv, or even the Kal Davin's Mairiv, then it's totally Laila. But it's like the Terusa Deshen in the sense that we're going to think that Zmani Tfila are relevant for Hilchos Nida in some way. Okay. Fine. So let's... the Gemara says that there's another opinion, a fourth opinion. We mentioned three already for the Mishnah, fourth opinion. The Gemara says like this, it quotes a story about Rabbi, right? First of all, it tells us why did the Chachamim reject Rabbi Yehuda? Like we said, because Mali Afrisha B'tara B'Shvi Min HaMincha L'Mala, Mali Afrisha B'tara B'Rishon. What difference does it make? As long as you're relying on Chazak, you're relying on Chazak. What difference does it make if you rely on Chazak for 10 hours or for 6 days? So then Agmar says, but Rishon, Mikel, Lamanda, one second. Rishon. There's nobody in the Mishnah that says Rishon. The most Mikel opinion in the Mishnah was Yom Sheni. That was the Chachamim. So Agmar says, there is such an opinion. Tani, I'm a Rebbe. Shalti is Rebbe Yozi, Rebbe Shimon. Shema Achma Derech. Nida shabadka atma yom shvi shachres matzatayra. Then shmas lo frisha lacha yamim badka matzatayra mahu. Amelo harim chazkas tara. It's good. Bishishi. What about on the sixth day? Chamishi, revi, shlishi, sheni, mai. Amelo loishna. It's mutter, right? Which is we know the chachamim of the Mishnah. Harishon lo shalati. Rabbi said, I didn't ask about the first day because originally I used to think that rishon for sure that won't work. But Tayyisi Velok Shaloshati, I should have asked. Right? You see, always ask. I made a mistake. Atukulu Labu Cheskas Tuma Kaimi. I gave him to Pasik Pasik. She did have Sektara, so she has the Cheskas Mayana Sasam. And therefore, Rishonami came into Pasik Pasik. Why shouldn't Rishon also be good? Umekar myself or Hol of Lochsak Mayan Pasuach. So then it would turn out that there are four Shitos now, right? The Tanakama is Dafka Shvi Baboker. Rabbi Yehuda, Dafka Shvi Minamincha L'mala, / Benish Mashos, Rabban and Basrai, even the second day. But for some reason, the first day is Mayana Pasuach. And that's the Pesach of the Rambam. The Rambam passes like the Chum of the Mishnah, Stam Mishnah. And he says that's because Mayana Pasuach, right? Shiyom Rishon Kulo Hochsa Kamayan Pasuach. And then we have Rabbi of the Braisa. Rabbi of the Braisa says even Yom Rishon, and that's the Pesach of the Rashba, another Rishonim. Because after all, Rabbi changed his mind. So we should paskin like his maskana. Now there's a very interesting thing that we're going to see in the Beis Yosef and the Gra and others, and we'll return to it in a couple minutes. But briefly, they say that, you know what? If you did a bedika on Beinah Shmashos of the first day, whatever Beinah Shmashos means exactly, if you did a bedika Beinah Shmashos of the first day, it's going to work l'kulei alma. Whereas when the Mishnah says it doesn't work on the first day, that means b'shachras, right? The only person who says that a bedika on the first day works b'shachras is Rebbe. But if you did b'nei shmashos, that would work, which is really odd if you think about it. I mean, we're going to say, let's say, according to the Tanakh and the Mishnah, dafka shvi shachras works, but rishon b'nei shmashos works. I mean, it's a lot much longer period of time from Rishon Beinah Shmashos until she goes to the mikvah after the seventh day from Shachras. So what's going on over there? We'll get back to that. B'kitzer, we have these four views, and as I said, machlokas, how we pass it. Sort of interesting, actually. It's not actually that clear. The Rashba actually thinks maybe there's actually really three opinions, because he thinks that the Mishnah was stated and Rabbi Bialduso, and the Bryce is Bizeknuso. In other words, the Chachamim of the Mishnah are Rabbi. So I guess there are four positions, but only there's never a time where there were advocates of all four positions, right? So as opposed to obviously the Rambam, who doesn't say that, because the Rambam thinks that we pass kind of like the Chachamim of our Mishnah. The Tosafot Rashi actually says is really, really he whittles it down to two positions, because he thinks that the Rabbanan Basraya, the Mishnah, are really explaining the Tanakhama. There is no difference between the second day and the seventh day. That doesn't make any sense. So there's two positions. There's the Chachamim of the Mishnah, and then that day morning of day 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 works. And then Rabbi was chozer from that, and therefore it only were even Rishon B'Shachris works. And then there's the view of Bermuda. Anyway, either way, those are the at least four potential positions, and maybe four actual positions. Now it's interesting just to think for a moment that the Mishnah is always obviously talking about a nida. What would we say for a zava? So a zava could clearly be posekes biyom shirasha bo. In other words, and therefore l'chora, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, sort of an interesting question, because if Rabbi Yehuda really requires shvi'im min amin cholamala, then the hafzik tara that she does of her being a nida on let's say on the fifth day wouldn't be sufficient. But that's okay, because she's going to do other bidikos later on. Anyway, so
what was I going to say?
In other words, nowadays we do, let's say, a hafzik tara on day 5, right? So Rabbi Yehuda would be unhappy with that hafzik tara, because she might actually be a nida. In fact, she's almost certainly a nida. And hafzik tara on day 5 is not good enough for him. But I'm just saying that that's okay, because her hafzik tara will be a later bedika. She does bedika on the seventh day of Rosh Hashanah, that could also be hafzik tara al tznida. Anyway, so what does that mean for us? So l'chayra, when would, so assuming we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so then you should be able to do a hafzik tara. If you learn like the Rambam, anytime after day 2, I mean on day 2 and onwards, and if you hold like the Rashba, even day 1 onwards, right? That's all you'll need. In other words, assuming we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so you should never need a hafzik tara min amincha lamala. And even if you're going to say that you'll need min amincha lamala yom rishon, so we'll get to that in Sif Beis, or maybe even moch in that case, but that almost will never happen. However, it's not that simple. The view of Tosfos is, we mentioned this Tosfos already, it's Tosfos on Samach Chesmid Beis, is that you need min amincha lamala medina on Yom Shirasavo. Right? Any day she saw down. In other words, let's say, typically women will do a hafzik tara on their fifth day from the start of menstruation. Let's say they actually had a re'iya on the fifth day. So then according to Tosfos, it's not just that you need min amincha lamala on the first day, but any day that she saw. So you need a din. In that case, you would need a mikra din min amincha lamala, right? That's sort of what the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Bishlam alididi, you know, it's not a chumrah. Min hamincha lamala is min adin. But ladidcha, that it's only a chumrah, so, you know, why you should require a moch. You should require your damein in out. So you actually could have a situation of requiring minim and chol ma'al and adin, according to Tosfos. And there's also the view of Rashi, nun gimel min aleph, dimas chol lo tehei. The Rashi in our sugya doesn't sound that way, and the truth is Tosfos over there in that sugya, at least in one of his answers, doesn't say like Tosfos in our sugya. But anyway, so there are some Rishonim who would say that Medina, you need a bedika, a hefsek tar to be done minim and chol ma'al. Most Rishonim disagree. The Ravi, the Ramban, the Rashi, the Chinuch, the Rashbats, the Ramah, are all not choshish for Tosis. And the Sheet of Tosis is not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch at all. But the Chavos Das, Biurim, Zivkat, and Aleph wonders, it's a little strange. Why didn't the Ramah, why wasn't he choshish for Tosos? In a sense, the Ramah, Sif Beis is sort of based off of Tosos. We'll get back to that later. And also Chachmas Adam, the Sidrei Tara, they all say you should be choshish for Tosos. But Pashtus were not, because, as I said, the Rav Rishonim do not paskin like Tosfos, and it doesn't appear in the page Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't even bring down Shitas Tosfos or Rashi. And that seems to be the Halach L'maisa, that's what we paskin. The Ramah, we paskin like the Ramah, that we're not choshish for Tosfos. If you want a list of all those that are both choshish for Tosfos and not choshish for Tosfos, particularly with the Tarsa Bayis Chelik Beis, page Reish Samach Gimel through Reish Samach Hay. Okay, so I mentioned before, there is this idea of Bedika Yom Rishon Ben Ashmashos working, even for the Rambam, which is, again, surprising, because the Rambam sounds like, again, we pass him like the Chumim our Mishnah, so L'chaira, there's no option of a Bedika Hefsek Tara on Yom Rishon. But the Beis Yosef says like this. Ima Yosoyver HaRav HaMagid Shadas HaRambam Sharsim Bedika Beyom Rishon, Afilu Bebadka, Bein Ashmashos, Laya Shasek, Melefushe, Didas Rambam, He Muchlekes, Meshte Svashkas Ramban, Hilkas Nerlida Rambam, Lay Asar at Berishon, Ella Beshaloi Badka Bein Ashmashos. Aval and Badka Bein Ashmashos. Umata Taira. She's good. Why? Why would the Rambam be Makel for Bedikas Yom Rishon Bein Ashmashos? The Sulak on Echsomidi. Because what are you worried about? I mean, if you did a bedikah ben ashmashos, we'll describe what that means in a minute. So, what are you worried about? It couldn't have happened after, there couldn't have been a re'iyah following the bedikah. Lack of lemeichos amidi. And therefore, of course, the Rambam would agree. Haha. So why did the Rambam say so? The Rambam only mentions that bedikah siyom sheni works. Umashal okasav came to favor shainu lefi. In other words, it's not in the Gemara. This idea of moich, moch is a great einfald, but the Gemara didn't have it, right? Adarav, that's what they, you know, the Gemara almost sounds like, you had Yadav Bein and now Kol Bein Ashmashos, but whoever heard of that? But once we have such a thing, so Sulek Alameichos Lamidi, and therefore the Rambam would agree. So you could have a matziv of the Rambam agreeing to a bedikas yom rishon, and of course that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins like. So therefore, even in Sif Beis, you see choshish to the Rambam in Sif Aleph. He says, well, if you did a moch yom rishon, that would work. That would work, and it makes sense. I mean, it's a chiddush in the Rambam, you know, because it didn't say it, but logically, the Beis Yosef is saying, yeah, I can understand why that should work, right? He's right. L'chora sula l'chal meichas l'midi. So that makes sense. But then the Beis Yosef says an even bigger chiddush, which is in his understanding of the Tur Bedas HaRash and Rabbi Yehuda. And this chiddush will come out possibly the Maisa. So the Rash, as we mentioned already before, says that she should do the Bedikah Bein Ashmashos. And, you know, it's the Rash in his Kitzer Sefer, as we mentioned. So naturally, it's full of chumras. As we'll see, the Beis Yosef points out. So the Rush says this idea of Bedikah Bein Ashmashos, and the Tur cites it. And at least the Beis Yosef understood the Tur as understanding the Rush as saying you have to do a Bedikah Bein Ashmashos, which would mean that the Rush was passing like Rabbi Yehuda. Because after all, the Rush uses the solution of Tzricha Lefsok Betar Bein Ashmashos. Tzricha doesn't sound like a recommendation, it just sounds like a requirement. So why else would the Rush have said, Sri Chalat Lifsak Banish Mashos? says the Torah, must be that the Rosh Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it's very odd, because the Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda's talking about the seventh day, right? And the Rosh clearly didn't require the seventh day, right? The Rosh says, B'yom shif sika miliros, whatever day that is, yesh alim dok banish mashas. So what the Beis Yosef is basically saying, it's a fascinating idea, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, B'dika banish mashas works even on day two, not just day seven. Now, like I said, B'das HaRambam, with the Moch, I could understand that. Because really, the Rambam says day two works. Day one doesn't work because maybe she's afterwards. But if you have B'nai Shmashos of day one, fine, Gishmak, right? Lech L'meichas L'midi. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that day seven Shachris doesn't work. So if he's worried about, you know, bleeding after day seven Shachris, so for sure he's going to worry about B'nai Shmashos of day one. So, but what the Beis Yosef is saying, so that would work according to Rabbi Yehuda. And not only that, but with Chayra, the Rosh isn't talking about Moch, right? The Rosh is talking about, close to Beinu Shmashos, like the Beis Yosef already told us, Samach LeBeinu Shmashos, whether it means the Rabbeinu Tam's Shkia Rishona, or whether it means, you know, some. So you're actually doing, you're not doing a Moch, you're doing a Bedika Samach LeBeinu Shmashos, day one, and that works even according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is quite extraordinary. And again, we'll try to explain why that might be. The Maaseh of Beis Yosef does not accept that this is the correct shot in the Rosh. Beis Yosef thinks the Torah got it wrong. Because why in the world would the Rosh pass on like Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, he's a Das Yafet. He's against the Chacham, he's against Rabbi, he's against Tam Kam, he's against everybody, right? So the Beis Yosef himself comes up with a different interpretation of the Rosh. He thinks that the pshat in the Rosh is that he's giving a recommendation, like we said. It's always better to be machmir, and we'll talk about why that is. Always better to be machmir, to minimize the gap between the Hefsek Tara and the end of the Shiva Yamim, or the onset of Shiva Nikiyim. But it's not strictly speaking necessary. But the Beis Yosef doesn't really back off on this theory that he has. He says maybe the Rosh says Beit HaShmashos because it always works. Mikra Din, we pass like the Chum Basra or the Tanakama, right? And therefore, you know, at least Yom Shvi Shachris would work. But since Beit HaShmashos always works, so the Rosh in this Kitzur Sefer pick something that like is always good, right? Vashu the Savar like Chacham Basrayo Katan. A meeting from the Beis Yosef Savana the Rosh Oktan Kama the Masnisin the Savar Dafka Kishapaska Biyom Shvi Lo Bayi Bedika Spanish Mashos Avol Paska Shal Yamim Bayi Bedika Spanish Mashos V'zeh Neri Yoser the Mishum Hafim Mastim Le Stume Imishum the Rov Nashim Poskos Kodem Shvi the Imishum the Kevin the Poskos Bekul Yomi Bayi Bedika Spanish Mashos Barne Poskos Biyom Shvi Less Lan Lo Ruyeh Hatei Biyom Shvi Ki Heichi. Rosh was giving, like in this kitzer, just simple example, instructions that will work all the time. So again, very fascinating, right? How did the Beis Yosef know, even the Shitaso, that Beis Shmashos works by Shar Yamin? And what, you know, why is Beinu Shmashos of day one better than Shachris of day two or three, right? Because he says that Shachris of day two or three doesn't work. Beinu Shmashos of day one does work. And I don't even think he's talking about a moch, right? We'll get to the Beis Yosef, the moch. So really, the Beis Yosef is two chidushim. According to the Rambam, moch works on Yom Rishon. That's the smaller chidush, I would say. And according to the Rosh, Samach lebein hashmashos would work, right? Which is min haminchah lemala. Samach lebein hashmashos would work even beyond Rishon, and that's like a bigger chiddush. And again, we have to understand why that is. Yeah.
Isn't that whole The Rosh is talking about nowadays, right? For
Shif
and Mekiyim.
Yeah.
So the whole Machlokas Tanaim is about being
correct.
So there's more reason to be.
Yeah, there is. Absolutely. But still, Mikra Din, Shachar should work. Unless you have like Tosfos, and this was Yom Shirasa. But then, okay, even if we say that, then you need Minamin Cholala. Okay, but as I said, the Yosef doesn't consider Tosfos as being. Now, for the base Yosef, let's say she does it day five, nowadays, that's certainly going to be okay in the morning. Mikra did, but that's what he's saying. The Rosh is telling you, you know what? Let's just say to do it Beinu Shmashos, and that's always going to be good. Okay. So, halach lemaisa, what do we say? So, first of all, when we look at the Shulchan Aruch, and this point is made by basically all the Rishonim, they all say that even if you're going to say it works on day one or day two or whatever it is, the later the better. Maybe you can be dyke that way from the Mishnah. The Lashon of the Mishnah is Nida Shabbat Katma, maybe the Lashon of B'diavet. We'll see more a little bit later where this might come from. But always the later is better. So, the Shulchan Aruch writes, or I'll be doing from the Rambam with the Shulchan Aruch later. The Rambam writes, Nida Shabbat Katma B'yom V'Sochim Meditasa Matzah Shapas Gadam Avila V'Sheni L'Nidasa V'Shegigah Uzida V'Loi Bad Kalachar Nidasa. No, she shouldn't have done that. But Shegigah Uzida, she didn't do a later B'dika. Okay, so what is this idea of a moich? So the moich, remember the Gemara said, well, ilu yada beinei na'akol bein hashmashos, yafat omer. Why? Because lo tzarech l'sfukei lamidi, says the Rashba. I have this great chap. Yeah, maybe it's true, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require it, but it's a great chop. I mean, it will work. It'll work. You know, what do you have to worry about afterwards? Okay, great. So it'll work. But then the Beis Yosef says, not only will it work, but you should do it. You should do it. Everybody should do a moch. Always. No matter what. And he writes how lovely this Rashba is. By Yakru Divrei HaRashba Shekasim Tosfos HaKatzer V'Zali Olam Yilmad Adam B'Soch Beisos Shteisha Bodekas Yom Hafsakas Hafsik Tara B'Moch Dachok Sheisham Kol Ben Hashmashos V'Shezu B'Zika Modiyam Motzi Midei Safek. Wonderful. And he wonders why the Torah even leave this out. This is like the best idea since sliced cheese, right? My Yakru. Sliced bread? No. Sliced cheese. Cheese is even better than sliced bread. It's easier to cut bread than cheese. So what is this? Like, why is the moch? I mean, if you think about it, it's an astounding chumrah. I mean, the most machmir tana that there is doesn't require a moch, right? Rav Yehuda doesn't require a moch. And we don't pass it like Rav Yehuda. So, okay, I understand it's great. Like, it's motzi midei kol safek. In halacha, we don't usually say that you have to be motzi midei kol safek, right? You're allowed to rely on all sorts of things, even though it's not, you know, 100. We don't say you have to check for all trefos, right? You don't have to check vegetables for tolayim, unless it's a miramatsui. I'm saying, mechatesi, all of a sudden over here to say, since there is this option to be motzi midei kol safek, that's not even mentioned in the Gemara. Oh, we should do it. Where is this coming from? So some say, you know what, maybe the Beis Yosef, really why he likes this so much is because at the end of the siman, we're going to see the Beis Yosef is going to talk about how to do B'dika. And the Beis Yosef has certain concerns about the way we do B'dika because maybe we don't go in far enough. So maybe he's saying, oh, we'll do a moch because that will solve that problem. I think it's very dochak because he writes over here at the beginning of our siman, Mayakru Divrei Rashba, and he doesn't bring that up until like 10 pages later. It's a little strange to, you know, assume that what he's saying over here is based off what he says over there. The Chavustas, Sifkatan Bey says, well, maybe for Moch, because we should be Choshesh, that, you know what, this is really Yom Rishon. She's already been bleeding for 5 days. Nah, we're not Bekian and Maris Domin. So maybe the last, you know, sort of like, that's how we got into the Salta Khan in the first place. You know, we sort of considered that possibility. Okay, maybe. But I think it's also very dochak. I mean, then you should say it's Mikra Din. If you're choshesh that the last 4 days of bleeding was not blood, and this is really Yom Rishon, so then it should be Mikra Din. And if you're not choshesh for that, so then why is there this idea? And the basis doesn't even say this idea. So it seems that we have this malchus because we want to be machzik the entire day b'tahara. And that's a maila. And we have to figure out why. And we're going to explain when we get to the shach and the rashba and the like, why, what this great maila is. But I'll call upon him, malchus is not mikra din. Like we said, it is a chumra. And therefore, halach l'maisa, in cases where moch is going to be a problem, so for example, a menika. A lot of times after childbirth, some of the natural lubrication that a woman will have is gone for some reason. And therefore, bedikos, you have to be very careful about bedikos. It could cause irritation. And a moch certainly could cause irritation. Certainly, the first bedika after childbirth, you should skip the moch. And maybe even subsequently, if it feels dry. Rabbi Schechter, I saw on page 307 of Rabbi Sabalevsky's Hilchos Nida book, writes, if she did not bleed on that day, if she did not bleed on the day of the Hafsik Tara, then she may forgo the moch if it causes discomfort. In other words, even discomfort, it's okay. If she didn't believe, I assume what Rabbi Schechter is choshish for Shitas Tosfos. So saying, if you hold a Shitas Tosfos, even Tosfos wouldn't require moch l'chori, it only require b'dika min ha'minchah l'mala, but okay, if rasa v'oso yom, so then she should push herself to use a moch.
That's across the board, not
across the board. Yeah, Rishachter across the board. If it's going to cause discomfort and lo rasa v'oso yom, she may forgo the moch. Again, you know, so if moch, a lot of times a moch is very, would be very hard for her to do because she's not in a place where she could do a moch. Like she's taking the subway on her way home from work. So when she puts on the moch when she got, you know, before she leaves work and takes it out after she gets home, that's like an hour and a half. And that's like really, you know, uncomfortable and, you know, maybe a good chance it would cause irritation and the like. So if a moch is either painful or highly inconvenient, then one can forgo moch. And certainly it's a good idea to forgo moch if there's a concern that it will cause irritation, like post-childbirth. Assuming you are going to do the moch, and yes, under normal circumstances, a person should do a moch. It says that in Shulchan Aruch. Yes, it's a chumra, but we accept that chumra. So when should you do it? So you should put it in, you know, at Shkia, or a minute before Shkia. Now, you don't want to put, let's say she does, we'll talk about when's the ideal time to have the tara, but let's say she has a tara a half hour before Shkia. It's not a good idea to put in a moch then, because you're going to want to keep the moch in for a half hour after Shkia. So, and putting it in for an hour is certainly unnecessary. So she should put in the moch at Shkia, and Rabbi Willig thinks she should leave it in for a half hour. Why a half hour? Well, that will be Tzeis HaKochavim for most of the year, right? Rabbi Willig has his whole cheshbon based off of his calculations made in Mar Shakolol when it's light. But I think he holds that in New York, stars will appear between 26 minutes, like around equinox days, and 36 minutes at the latest on the summer solstice. So most of the year, half hour is good. As we said, this is a chumra, so half hour for something like this is good enough. Others say you could even rely on the gruff for the moch, so you could do, you know, 20 minutes is good enough for a moch. Yeah, because it's a chumra, even though you're not going to treat it as vaday laila for other dinim, one could be a little bit more makel. Okay. Now, we're assuming, though, that you could actually, what we do is called a moch. What do? We stick a bedika cloth, b'oso makom, in and leave it there. But the Chavos Das over here in Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph, not here actually, Kuf Tzadi Aleph, Sif Katan Ches at the end, says, you know what? What we're calling a moch is not a moch. I mean, first of all, look at the lashon, moch dachok. Right? What does dachok mean? It's like stuffed up. And why? So what's the idea of the moch? Like we saw, because it's 100% effective, as the Beis Yosef says. Well, it's not true that it's 100% effective. Why not? Because the moch is like somewhere in the middle of the vaginal canal, let's say, right? So blood could theoretically get around it. I mean, blood could leave the cervix. As we know, you know, the reason why we check for Chorin v'Stakin is because, we're going to get into the details of this, really why, but more or less because blood could be all over the place. It's not like, it's not even like a direct line from the cervix to outside of the body. It curves, and there's cracks, and there's crevices. And that's why, you know, we even paskin Chorin v'Stakin is ma'akev, not like the Ravid. And so, so if you need Chorin v'Stakin, Chorin are ma'akev, so conceivably, what could happen is the blood could leave the makor and sort of get around the moch, get around that bedikah cloth that's somewhere in the middle there, and leave the body. And moch is not guaranteed. So you want to do a moch that is really guaranteed to work. So that's dachok. That's you like stuff up also makom bedikah, not one bedikah cloth. I don't know, 50 bedikah cloths put in a sock. I don't know what exactly, but you have to it has to be dachok, right? What we do is not a moch. And that point is made by the Shevet HaLevi over here. If you hold like the Chavos Das, what we do is an Amoch. Eri Willig is nota towards this view of the Chavos Das, that what we do isn't really Amoch. Because like we said, what is Amoch? Amoch is 100% guarantee. This is 99%. You know, it's pretty good. But the whole mile of Amoch is that it's 100%. This isn't 100%. Now, this is nogea to really two halachos. Number one is, I guess, lower stakes, which is the chumrah of using a moch no matter what, because that's only a chumrah. So if it's not a moch, it's not a moch. I mean, you might still say, well, if I'm not getting the chumrah of the moch anyway, why do I even bother with this? But it's lower stakes in the sense that nobody is going to be doing something aser if it turns out that this really isn't a moch. But we will see, the Shulchan Aruch at least, and Sif based Paskins, that there are going to be sometimes, like Rasa Yom Rishon, where Moch is Mikra Din. And the Shach explains that could happen, for example, if she's Sosaras or Shivanakiyim with a Re'iyah, and somehow or another could do a Hefsik Tar on that day, then Moch is Mikra Din. Well, then we better know that the Moch is actually a Moch, right? Because in that case, it is Mikra Din. Ray Willig pointed out, I think, that even though what we call a moch is not the Rashba's moch, it is the Sefer Chinuch's moch. Sefer Chinuch writes, this is in Mitzvah Reish Zayin, Ela im kein, hayu yada ben eneha kol ben ashmashos, kolomar, shebadka atzma venicha eid bifnim mi ba'odio. Right? That's what he says. Mamash ar moch. Badka atzma venicha eid bifnim. So he doesn't say the word dachok like the Rashba does. So maybe what we do, our minhag is like the minchas, the Sefer Chinuch's moch, right? Yeah. But that maybe that means you have a bedika cloth mamish underneath the whole area. In other words, the chshash of the Chavos Das to get around it is not stopped. So I think, you know, the chinuch is really more what we're doing. Our minhag is like the chinuch. Whether or not we would be somech anes is if it's mikra din is not so clear. I asked Rabbi Willig what he would say. He didn't want to be machriya. But he said, don't worry, it never happens. Why does it never happen? We'll talk about it a little later, but basically because if she's so Sarah Shivanakiyam with a kasem, so she doesn't need moch mikra din, because that doesn't show my anaf hasuach. And Ray Willig thinks that suah din a bedika cloth, like a drop on a bedika cloth or whatever, that also doesn't, so such a small amount doesn't show my anaf hasuach. So when is it ever that, and some posts even say, on day one, you might not need mikra din and moch, because if she strikes out on day one, it's pretty clear, it's just a continuation, she never really stopped. But so when would you require a moch mikra din? That's if you had like a totally new re'iyah, I don't know, on day six. Now, sometimes that happens. It's not just a kesem. It's not just a bad bedika, but it is a new re'iyah. But the chances of you're getting hefsek tahara on the day that you had a re'iyah are extraordinarily low. So therefore, it's very unusual. I think Rabbi Willig said he never had that shaila. So that's why he didn't feel compelled to be machriya. So it's not going to be that likely. Okay. Now, an interesting question is the following. Would a moch work for Hefsek Tara? Would a moch work for Hefsek Tara? This is a very common question. Not very common, but occasional question. What do I mean to say? The woman does Hefsek Tara. Okay, iffy. She's not sure. Maybe yes, maybe no. So she does her moch. And then she shows the Rav. And the Rav says the Hefsek Tara is no good. But the moch is good. She put the moch in a minute before Shkia. Right? If she put it in after Shkia, then probably wouldn't work, though we'll talk about the Bedikos Benish Mashos a little bit later. But but she put in the moch a minute before Shkia, a second before Shkia. She leaves it in for a half hour, she takes it out, and lo and behold, it's good. So is that gonna work? It's not gonna work. So I thought, you know, if you did like the Chavos Das Moch Dachuk, the Rashi Moch Dachuk, then for sure that would work. But what about our Moch Dachuk? Now, why would you think it doesn't work? Because there's no Chorin V'Stakin. In other words, if she did Chorin V'Stakin before Shkia, then for sure that would work. But she didn't. She just stuck the Bedikah cloth in and left it there and took it out. And we Paskin, more or less, the Chorin V'Stakin are Ma'akev. There is a view of the Ravid thinks you don't need Chorin V'Stakin for a Baila, just for Taras. But we don't accept that. L'chayra. So why does it work? So it doesn't work. That's what Willig thinks. It doesn't work. If you didn't do Chorin V'Stakin, it doesn't work. Because you need Chorin V'Stakin before Shkia, right? You need to do a Bedika, a Hefsek Tara to be before Shkia. And she didn't do Chorin V'Stakin before Shkia. Now, Rabbi Willig says, that's why it's a good idea, by the way, especially if the Hefsek Tara was a little bit questionable, for her to do Chorin V'Stakin on her moch. In other words, she puts in her moch a minute before Shkia, she should do some Chorin V'Stakin, and then that way it could serve as a backup. And he thinks, if you want, you could even do Chorin V'Stakin afterwards, just in case you forget to do B'dikas Yom Rishon, because Rabbi Willig thinks B'diavad B'dikas Lila works. We'll get to that later. Anyway, but if she didn't do Chorin V'Stakin, the way most people do moch, then it's no good. Rabbi Neuberger says it's good. Rabbi Neuberger disagrees with the Rav Willig. So tachiyam, there's no Chorin V'Stakin before Shkia. So I asked Eitan Schnau, Rabbi Schnau, why does Rabbi Neuberger say this? So he said he got it from Rav David Feinstein, which he did. I heard Rav Neuberger also said he got it from Rav David. And Rav David has an interesting idea, which is that, yeah, but she's wearing this way for a half hour. So of course she's gonna get Chorin V'Stakin. If you keep your Hefsek Tara, Boso Makom, you know, you go this way, that way, you stand up, you sit down, half hour for sure, it's gonna be all over the place. That's Chorin V'Stakin, you have Chorin V'Stakin. I didn't understand that, because yeah, okay, you have Chorin V'Stakin, but you don't have Chorin V'Stakin before Shkia. You have Chorin V'Stakin before Shkia. So I don't know, maybe it's Rav David Lashitasa, well, it's like Rav Moshe, that you have like 9 minutes after Shkia, so that's really, you know, based off of, Rav Moshe thinks we pass on like Rabbeinu Tam, but Rabbeinu Tam's against Matzias, so we'll update Rabbeinu Tam for New York and turn 72 minutes into 50 minutes or maybe even 40 minutes, and a whole cheshbon, so therefore, you have a little bit of time after Shkia. All right, fine. But we don't hold that here in YU. So that's not going to help us. So what sad is there to be made? So I asked that to Eitan. So Eitan said, well, maybe he's relying on the Atzmos Yosef. Atzmos Yosef cited in the Sidrei Tara that if you have a bedika over an extended period of time, then you don't need Chorin V'Stakin. The idea over there, we're going to get to it a little later, is because the purpose of Chorin V'Stakin is, so that, according to some Achronim, is that not just a moment in time, but it's over a period of time. Like the blood that would have come over a period of time. So, but that wasn't before Shkia. Adru Kashila Duchta. So I asked this question to Rabbi Neuberger today. And a quarter to, first I went down earlier and he wasn't available. So a quarter to 12, I go down and I ask for Ray Neuberger. And he thinks about it for a minute. And then they start telling. I thought 15 minutes, that would be enough. How was I supposed to know Seder today would end at 11:45? So he said, well, what about a kala? I mean, a kala doesn't really do chomer stakin. Kala, you know, basically could get the bedikah cloth into about here after a knuckle because of the besulim. We'll see. I didn't understand that answer, but I didn't have a chance to handle with him because the pashtus is, if it's interesting, Shaila, but the pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is we pass in chomer stakin ra'akif. Okay? You might not have to go all the way in. The kala has to do chomer stakin in that little area. The Sidur Tara thinks maybe the raya you see so chomer stakin can't be derisive from the fact that a kala works. But okay, since the Rabbanan, they're makel for kala. We'll see. I don't think that was such a pashut answer, but I thought actually maybe the answer is like this. Maybe the answer is that okay, so you didn't have chomer stakin before banish mashus, but who cares? Because no blood. You have chomer stakin, let's say, like Rav David's shita, that when you walk around, it does chomer stakin. So she walks around with it for a half hour. So yeah, let's imagine she completed her chomer stakin a half hour after shkia. But there was no blood during that half hour, because then it would have been picked up by here. So yes, nor if you take out the bedikah cloth before shkia, then you need chomer stakin before shkia. But over here, where she took out the bedikah cloth half hour after shkia, so any you don't have to worry about blood coming out after the, you know, at any point afterwards, because that would be blocked by the moch.
Assuming
against Chavzas. So that's why I think, this is why I need to clarify with Ray Neuberger. But Willick is a Shitasa. He doesn't think the Chavzas, he agrees with the Chavzas, and therefore he thinks that this doesn't work. And you didn't have Kohen was talking before Shkia. And you'll tell me maybe afterwards, exactly like you said, maybe it'll go around. It's not good enough. But, so let's find out. If Ray Neuberger thinks no, our Moch is a Moch, right, against the Chavzas. So then, you'll tell me, what about Chavos Dasas Chashos? Oh, come on. Really? The blood's going to go down the vaginal canal, make a left before it hits the vedikah cloth, go down some side route, make a right again, and come out the body? We're not choshish for that. That's so far-fetched. And therefore, since you have Chorim Sakan over the course of a half hour, plus you're confident that no blood would have left the body from the beginning of the Hefsek Tara, which was a second before Shkia, till when she takes out the bedikah cloth 30 minutes later, then that would be okay. Yeah.
So, just this example. So, I would have put a bedikah cloth, or put a bedikah cloth inside of her for 1 minute, not move, let's say, and take it out. Still, she knows no blood escapes.
Yeah, but that's okay. That gives you 1 minute, but you need chomer stakin. Now, there's maybe the whole time. In its nadim, in one of the cracks and crevices, there's blood, and you just didn't notice it. Right. That's why this works. This shows you, we know for sure that there was no blood going back. Right.
Does this have to be in the Chavos? Can you say that Chavos are just like this? Don't burn those pieces.
No, yes, it is against the Chavos, because then, let's say the Chavos is right. So she sticks it in a minute before Shkia, and then the blood circumnavigated it and got out, right? And the moch's not going to detect it. Okay.
So it's also assuming that Hefsek Tara is more of a simon than a simon.
The Hefsek Tara is either one. It's a simon. I don't know why. I mean, yeah, it's a simon that she stopped bleeding. Mayana sasim before shkia. It demonstrates that, and it, assuming you're not chosh v'chav estas, indeed this would demonstrate. And you hold that the bedikah cloth runs around the body when she runs around, so then it would work. I saw a quote from Nevinsal. He has a similar idea, though it's a little less of a chiddush, that a hefsik tara, I mean a moch would work for bedikas yom rishon. In other words, let's say she did a moch, and then she forgot her bedikas yom rishon. So again, we'll talk about bedikas balayla, but he assumes obviously bedikas that would work, and therefore it works for day, first day. Now the stakes are a little lower because you might not even need chor mistakin for bedikas yom rishon, right? So Rabban, we'll get there a little later, and you might even have if you have a really early time of tzeisa kochavim. Then you might even have thought if she kept it in a half hour, and let's say Tzitzchavim was really after 15 minutes, like the grass, so she had 15 minutes of walking around with the Bika class, you might have Chorim stuck in the first day. So Nevinsal is a similar idea, though it's a little bit of a lesser Chiddush. But I don't know. I don't know if everybody really would agree what he would say about that. It's an interesting question we could ask him. Okay. Now.
So, just a question.
Uh-huh.
So I know this discussion on whether a tampon works or both, and even a bedikah, but is a tampon considered
dachuk? I don't know. I didn't ask Rabbi Willig. I think it would probably depend on how far in it goes. Meaning to say, in theory, if you knew that the aid bedikah was at the cervix the whole time, then even the Chavos Da should agree, even if it's not dachuk. Because why not? But assuming that that it's not, so yes, a tampon has a little more volume than an aid bedika. But I don't really think it would be any different. I mean, aid bedika also spreads out more. So I don't know which is better, an aid bedika or a tampon in terms of the chavos das. I would assume according to chavos das, they're both ineffective, unless somehow or another you knew that you got the tampon all the way up to the cervix. I don't think that's the way most people put in their tampons. A woman could, put something up to the cervix, like when women use diaphragms, they're taught how to place it on the entrance of the cervix, otherwise it wouldn't be so effective. But I don't think that's the typical scenario. So it's hard to imagine that would be, if you held like the Chavos Das, that would work. Okay, fine. So we have the Rambam, passages like the Chanan, as we said, that were according to the Beis Yosef, if you would agree with the Moch on day one. We have the Rashba, passages like Rabbi. The Psak of the Ramah, that's very complicated. We'll get back to that a little bit later. Very complicated. We have this idea of the moch, the chumrah of the moch, which, by the way, even though I'm gonna try to be miyashiv that in just a moment, or maybe next week, I guess. Next week, I guess we'll try to be miyashiv. The shad, we keep on asking, like, why are we so machmir for the moch? You should know, by the way, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks it's ridiculous. He thinks like the whole concept of moch makes zero sense. Like we said, why are we so machmir? There's a very fascinating gra. I'll just point that out, I guess, since we don't have time to go later. The Gra writes, Sifkat and Dalid, Uvedikazu, which describing this moch, right, that it's motzi michol safek, lahachmir l'chatchila k'reb Yehuda b'mas nisen. Yeah. L'chatchila, you should follow Reb Yehuda, and that's why you should do a moch. That's why you should do a moch. Now, sort of like, you know, the rush, the tour understood the rush. It's repassing like Rabbi Yehuda, at least the Chatchila. This is also actually, I take that back. He is not talking about moch yet. This is talking about mina mincha l'mala, right? Why is it that l'chatchila should do mina mincha l'mala? Says the Gra. Well, who's the one who said mina mincha l'mala, right? That's Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Shulchan Aruch pask in that way? It must be l'chatchila, you should follow Rabbi Yehuda's view. So I saw in the notes from the Rav that he thought that this Gra is a Pela Atzim. Mehecha teisi to be choshish for Shita and Tanayim that we don't pask in, like, even l'chatchila. I mean, did you ever find such a thing? So he thinks, no, what the psak must be is to minimize the reliance on chazaka as little as possible. And as even the Chachamim agree to that idea. Just like we said, you know, everybody agrees that l'chatchila, that's really where this comes from. But why? And how do we know that? Where is that coming from? Mechateisi. Okay, maybe you could dive a little bit from the lesson of the Mishnah. So I think that perhaps we could solve this problem with Shach Sifkat and Aleph. I'm going to just read for you Shach Sifkat and Aleph, and then we'll stop. We'll give you some time to think about it. Shach says, Kadesh Tifsak Batara, Bain Hashmashis. So what does the Shach mean? What do you mean? Hefsiktar is not Bain Hashmashis. Adar Rabbi, somebody says if you do the Hefsiktar, Bain Hashmashis is not going to work, right? The Hefsiktar has to be before Bain Hashmashis. What does the Shach mean? Again, the Shach says, she should do it. Whatever you want to call that, right? Samach l'bein hashmashos. But he says that the hefsek tar is bein hashmashos. So what does the shach mean? She's doing the hefsek tar before bein hashmashos. What's the shach adding? Shach saying, why should you do it? Samach l'bein hashmashos. Kedei shetifsek b'tara bein hashmashos. What does that mean? It's not just the shach that says this. The Rashba, as well as other Rishonim, have the same idea. What does this mean? What does this mean? So we're going to have a pshat, suggest a pshat in this. And I saw that this pshat is also presented by, there's a sefer called Tashma. Get it on Hebrew Books. The whole sefer is on the shach. It's like a contrast. He wrote a longer sefer on Maros. It's called Tachazi. So you can take a look. Very interesting theory. And Bez Hashem will pick up with that. So we'll pick up Sunday, Bez Hashem. Okay. Ah. Okay.
Thank you for the shiur.
Okay, I like the tzustel telchosaka. Never mind me, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Have a good day.
Yeah, but by the way.
Yes.
Last time when I was asking about the difference, what's the logic of the difference between keeping the Leil Tevila private and Harnita status not private?
Yes.
You seem to think I was challenging you. And you said, well, that's what's written. I wasn't meaning to challenge you at all. I was just trying to understand.
I understand. You've muted yourself, but I understand what you're saying. I wasn't, I hope I answered your question.
Could you hold on just a moment?
Okay, I got to go to Mincha.
Hello?
Yeah.
The way my phone works, if a call comes in, even if I decline it, it turns off the sound. So I couldn't hear your last couple sentences.
Oh, okay, yes. Don't worry. I didn't think you were challenging me. I was just explaining that how it's the halacha suggests that. But anyway, I think I answered your question, right?
But I nevertheless, for example, if putting sexual matters aside, you know, a person generally embarrassed if they know that someone knows, you know, they were defecating or urinating, people.
Yeah, you know. But that's what Moshe says. You should be proud of keeping halacha.
No, I understand, but even when there's no,
I understand.
Yeah. So it seems it's quite reasonable for a woman to be embarrassed. It doesn't seem like
you know the fact. Okay, I hear. Okay, have a good day.
Thank you very much. Kol tov, daven well.
Thank you. Kol tov.